This morning, if you have your Bibles, Matthew chapter 25. We'll start our reading in verse 31. When you found your place, we'll stand in reverence to the word of the Lord as we read it this morning, Matthew 25 and verse 31. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as the shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was a hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was a hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hungered, or a thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of these least of these, ye did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. My Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for its purity. And we thank you, Lord, for its that you've preserved it for us, and we thank you for its power. And my Lord, I just ask you'd bless the reading of your word to our hearts this morning, and that you'd help us, Lord, as we consider the scriptures. Lord, I pray for those that know not you in the free pardon of sin. I pray, God, that you'd open their eyes, that you'd prick their hearts and convict them of their need. And those of us that are saved, dear Lord, I pray you'd remind us of what it is that you've done for us, and that you'd stir us and revive us and help us, Lord, this morning. We pray that your perfect will would be accomplished in it all. We ask in the name of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. I'd like to draw your attention to a few verses. Number one, I'd like to draw your attention to verse 34. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. I'd then like to draw your attention to verse 41. Then shall he say unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Now notice the last verse, verse 46. And these... It's a reference to what we just read in verse 41. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. My thought for this morning, or the title of the message, whatever you want to consider it to be, is this thought in verse 46. These shall go away. These shall go away. I want you to remember that. these shall go away. It's quite a statement. These shall go away. Now, before we get to that, and that's where I ultimately want to get to, is verse 46. But before we get to verse 46, we need to go back and look a bit of the background here. And the first thing I want you to notice here this morning is the coming of the king. Notice in verse 31, the coming of the king. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. The coming of the king. Number one, the coming of the king is sure. It's sure, it's certain. There's no doubting that the king is coming again. He's come once, and we learnt this, I think, in Sunday school either last week or the week before. We were reminded of this, that he came as a saviour the first time. But when he comes again, he's coming as the sovereign ruler. The king is coming again. It's certain. It's sure. 2 Peter chapter 3 talks about the scoffers that there are in this last day, that there'll be many scoffers. And what they'll be scoffing at is, where is the coming of the Lord? It's all been the same ever since our forefathers to today. What's the difference? Where's his coming? And you've all heard that mocking little line, that mocking little saying that the world has, if something's taking a long time, it's as slow as the second coming of Christ. You ever heard that? You never heard that? You heard that? I've heard it. Some of us have heard it, some of us haven't. You need to open your ears up a little bit. I guess it depends what circles you mix in. But there's mockery, there's scoffing out there. The Christians have been saying Jesus has come back 2,000 years. He's not back yet. But then the scriptures tell us in that same context there in 2 Peter chapter 3 that the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long suffering us, would not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The reason he hasn't come back yet is because he's long suffering with sinners and he wants to see them come to repentance. And we also learned that 1,000 years is a day, and a day is 1,000 years with the Lord. It's been 2,000 years since he said he was coming back. That's only 2 days with God. Just take it easy. He'll be back. The king is coming back. It's not been long. It's only been a couple of days since he went back. He's coming again. Daniel, in chapter 7 and verse 13, spoke of this. He said, I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man, come with the clouds of heaven, and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. Daniel foresaw the coming of the king. Enoch did as well. You'll find that in Jude, verse 14. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these sayings, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints. The Lord cometh. Do you remember after the Lord Jesus came the first time? He came, he died, he was buried, and he resurrected. And if you got your Bibles, go with me to Acts chapter 1 and verse 11. It's one of my favorite verses in the scriptures. I love it. Acts chapter 1 and verse 11. So he's risen again, he's died for the sins of man, he's been resurrected, and he's just ascended back to the right hand of the Father. Notice verse 9. We'll start in verse 9. And when he had spoken these things, speaking of Jesus, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. So here's the disciples. They're standing, and as he's giving them the last instruction, he's ascending back to heaven. And while they looked steadfast, and verse 9. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, two angelic beings. Verse 11, which also said, this is what the angelic beings said to these men, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? What are you doing? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner, even in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. What in the world are you standing there gazing up into heaven for? That same Jesus that went in that same manner is coming back in that same manner. He's coming again. The King is coming again, it is sure. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 16 says, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first." Revelation 22 and verse 20 says, "He which testifieth these things, saying, Surely I come quickly, amen, even so come, Lord Jesus." I said that the King is coming, and it's sure. And Revelation 22 and verse 20 says, "He which testifieth these things saith, Surely I come quickly." He's coming. The King is coming again. Preachers, prophets of the Old Testament, the apostles, and preachers in our day, and the church has been saying for 1,000, 2,000 years, the King is coming. He's coming again. The coming of the King. It's sure. It's not only sure, definite, and certain, but it'll be sudden. It'll be sudden. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 2 says, "For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night." Now, the King has already given us all the warning we're going to receive. And it's right here in the Scriptures. We have our full revelation right here. We get no new revelation outside of the Scriptures. No one gets any new visions. If you get new visions, you ate pizza too early before you went to bed, or you ate the wrong food. You got issues if you're having visions. That we've got all the revelation that we need in the Scriptures. We've been fully warned. There's no more warnings for you. There's nothing more to be said. He said that he is coming again, and he said he's going to come suddenly as a thief in the night. He's not going to ring your doorbell before he comes. He's not going to allow your alarm bell to go off before he comes. No man knows the day nor the hour. He is coming, and he's coming surely, and he's coming suddenly, unexpectedly. He'll come quickly. Matthew 24 and verse 42 says, "Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come." You better watch. You children listening to me, do you know what it means to watch? Someone give me a definition of what it means to watch. To look out. To look out. That's pretty simple, isn't it? Pretty straightforward. That's what it means to watch, doesn't it? To look out means open your eyes up. But you know, it also means to be sober. It means to be careful. Because we can have our eyes open and not be seeing anything. Lots of people, they're walking and they'll walk into a door jam, or they'll walk into a tree, or they'll walk into something. They're looking. They got their eyes open, but they're not paying any attention. When it comes to the Scriptures where it talks about watching, it means to be awake. It means to be sober-minded. It means to be careful. It means open your eyes up and pay attention. Watch. Why? Because you don't know when your Lord's coming back. That's why. The King's coming again. Revelation chapter 16 and verse 15 says, "Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame." He's coming surely, and he's coming suddenly. The coming of the King. Number two, go back to our text in Matthew chapter 25. Not only do I see the coming of the King, but I see also the gathering of the people in verse 32. Notice it with me in verse 32. "And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats." You notice it there in verse 32, "And before him shall be gathered all nations, the gathering of the people. The people will be gathered together from all nations under earth. That's an amazing thought, isn't it, if you just think about that? Here's the coming of the King. The King's coming. Jesus is coming back as King. And then when he comes, all the people from all the nations shall be gathered under him. Oh, I'm not going to go. Oh, yes, you will. I don't believe he's coming. Oh, he's coming anyway. Well, I don't believe in Jesus. I don't believe he's coming. I don't believe he came the first time. I don't believe he's coming back the second time. Do you really think that your power of intellect and the power of your thought is so powerful that it prevents something happening? Just because you don't believe it, do you really think it's not going to happen? You know, I don't understand it. Well, neither do I. But that's not going to stop. The Lord coming back. I don't understand electricity. I'll just put my hand up there and I'll just say, I do not understand electricity. I've never understood electricity. I don't understand how you can burn something in fire that produces some sort of power that sits in the wires out of the turbines or whatever they are, and they sit in the wires and they sit up in these wires and the electricity just sits there until I flick a switch and the light comes on. I don't understand that. I don't get that. It makes no sense to me. I just can't get my head around it. Any sort of electricity baffles me. I don't understand it. I don't have to understand it to turn the light switch on, though, do I? And we're not called to understand everything, but we are called to believe, right? And there's a big difference. He's coming back. And there's going to be a gathering of the people. And it says, and before him shall be gathered all nations. This tells me that it doesn't matter what our race is. Doesn't matter if our skin is black or if it's white or if we're yellow or if we're pink and purple polka dots. It doesn't matter. It makes no difference. The Lord is no respecter of persons. He saves from all nations and all tongues and all kindreds. Isn't that wonderful? And the world is well represented here this morning, isn't it? We have Nepalese, right? We have South African. We have Fijian. We have, what else have we got? We got American. We got Brits everywhere. The motherland's invading. We got Brits. We got New Zealanders. We got Malaysian. We got all sorts of representation here this morning from all different kindred. Sister Hannah's, she's back in Germany. There's some German. There's even some Australians. But the Lord gathers from all over the world, doesn't he? He has his people. But not only that, when the Lord comes back, all nations will be gathered together. Go with me to John chapter 5. John chapter 5, we see the two resurrections in John chapter 5 and verse 25. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God. It's amazing, isn't it? The dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God. You know, that's exactly what happens when someone gets saved. The dead spiritually hear the voice of God calling them. And they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice, notice this, and shall come forth. But they don't have a choice. They shall come forth. Oh, you have your will, you have your self-will now. But there'll come a day that you will respond to the voice of God, and you will move at the voice of God. You may sit in defiance now and sit in rebellion now, but there's coming a day that you will move. God the Son will speak His voice, and you will move at His voice. You will move. You will come forth. Verse 29, and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. There are going to be two resurrections. All nations shall come forth and stand before the King. We know that there's two separate judgments, and we're not going to get into all that this morning and the different time frames. We understand that, that there's the judgment seat of Christ and the great white throne of judgment. But I want you to understand that there's going to be a gathering of the people when the King comes. It's going to be a gathering of people. Thirdly, notice there's a separating of the people in verse 32. Go back with me to Matthew chapter 25. And verse 32, the last portion of verse 32, and He shall separate them one from another as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. There's going to be a separating. Now, as I studied this and thought about this and was praying about this, I can't help but think of my time on the cattle stations, and there's the mustering. So you go out in the paddock, you got the horses, the motorbikes, the choppers, the airplanes, whatever it is, and you just gather everything that's in the field, everything that's in the paddock, is you just get it all. Just the whole lot, you want everything to come in. It doesn't matter if it's cattle or Brumbies or what it is, you want them all. And there's just a great big ingathering. That's what's going to happen when the King comes back. There's going to be just a great wholesale gathering. Everyone's going to be gathered under the King. But you know what happens when you get all those cattle in the yards? You get them there, you spend one day or 2 days gathering together, you get them in the yards, and then you might spend 2 or 3 or 4 days drafting the cattle, separating the cattle. The cows go this way. The bulls go this way. The weaners go that way. The calves go that way. The spayed cows go that way. The wet cows go this way. The dry cows go that way. The cull bulls go this. It's just all divided up. There's a great separation takes place. You know, that's what's going to happen when the King comes back. He's going to gather all the people together, and then He's going to draft them. He's going to separate them. He's going to separate the sheep from the goats. There's going to be a separation. Right now, we all dwell together. Right now, in this room we have right here and this small congregation that we have right here, there's two groups of people. There's lost and there's saved. There's the sheep and there's the goats. There's the righteous and there's the wicked. And right now, we just all dwell together. We live together out there in the world. We come and sit together on a church pew. We may even sing together in the choir. We may even serve together. But you know, there's coming a day when God is going to clearly identify those that genuinely know Him. There's going to be a separating of the people. He's going to take those that know Him in the free pardon of sin and place them on His right hand. He's going to do the separating. He's going to do the drafting. He's going to take His sheep and put them on the right. He's going to take the goats and He's going to put them on the left. If you're not saved, if you've never repented and believed the gospel, and the King comes back, the people are going to be gathered together and He's going to separate the people. There's going to be discrimination. Oh, we don't like discrimination in our day, do we? Everyone kicks and screams at discrimination. God discriminates. You know what He discriminates between? Lost and saved. Those that love Him, those that don't love Him. Discrimination, it's a part of life. We all discriminate. You go to the grocery store, you discriminate the vegetables. Oh, I don't like that one. Put that one back. I like that one. I'll take that one. We discriminate all day, every day. You discriminate against doctors. You go to a doctor, you don't like that doctor, you go to a different doctor. We all discriminate. God discriminates. There's going to be a separation. Are you understanding me? God is going to discriminate that day. He's going to separate that day. He's going to identify those that truly know Him. Lots of people call on the name of Christ. Lots of people call themselves Christians and have never been saved. They've never been truly regenerated. Never been genuinely born again. Never made alive spiritually. You better be careful. You better check it out. There's going to be a separating of the sheep and the goats. Go with me to Matthew chapter 3. Let's go back a few chapters to Matthew chapter 3. Here we have the separating of the wheat and chaff. Different picture, same thing. Matthew chapter 3 and verse 11. John the Baptist said, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Notice this. Whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. God, the Lord Jesus, the King, is going to discriminate. He's going to discern. He's going to separate the wheat and the chaff. The wheat and the chaff. Go with me now, and we'll see in Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13, we see the separating of the good seed and the tares. They're all pictures of the same thing. He answered in Matthew 13 and verse 37. He answered and said unto them, He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom. But the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world. And the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Then jump down with me to verse 47 of the same chapter. Here we have the separation of the good fish and the bad fish. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind. See, there's that great gathering. Which, when it was full, they drew to shore and sat down. They gathered the good into vessels, but cast the bad away. So shall it be at the end of the world. The angels shall come forth, and notice this, and sever the wicked from among the just, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire, and there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. The wicked are going to be severed from the righteous. The bad fish will be severed from the good fish. The sinner will be severed from the saint. There will be a separating in that day. The Bible is clear on this, that there's coming a day that God will clearly identify those that truly know Him. And let me say this, we as people, we all do it. We may try not to, but we all do it. We all watch. We all watch each other. We all examine one another. And we all come up with an opinion of whether they know Jesus or not. Or if they're really saved. Have you ever heard someone say that? Have you ever said that about someone yourself? Maybe you said it to yourself. I just don't know if they know God. Or by their fruits you shall know them. We can have some discernment. There can be things done, and the way a person lives can cause some concern. But at the end of the day, we don't know. Only God knows. Only the King knows. And you know, in that day, when He separates, you need to understand this, there'll be no mistakes made. You won't slip in unawares. You know, when you're drafting in a round yard, so you've got a, you've got a forcing pen, which is a bit of a triangle. You've got a big pen, comes down into a bit of a forcing pen, which is a bit of a triangle, and it comes down into the round yard, and someone's operating this gate, and they may let about three or four cows into the round yard. And then there's a couple of fellas in the round yard holding gates. And they have to let the right cattle go in the right gate to get them into the right pen. But every now and then, as you're trying to let the appropriate beast through your gate, particularly if they're a little bit smaller, sometimes they can slip past the outside and get in. If you can't get your gate on their shoulder, if they get their shoulder past the gate, they're gone. But if you can pin them right here, you can stop them and they back out. No mistake made. But when you're drafting, you make mistakes. When we analyze people, we make mistakes. But when Jesus, when the King separates that day, there'll be no mistakes. Genesis 18 and verse 25 says, "Shall not the judge of all the earth do right?" Oh, yes, He will. On that day, when the King comes and all the people are gathered together, the King, the judge of all the earth, shall do right, and He'll separate correctly. No sheep is going to accidentally end up over with the goats. Thank God for that. Aren't you glad for that? Aren't you glad if you're a Christian, if you're saved by the good grace of God, you're not going to accidentally end up over with the goats? That would be disappointing, wouldn't it? But our Lord, He's not going to make that mistake. But don't deceive yourself. If you're a goat, if you're lost, don't think that somehow you're going to get over there with the sheep. You might slip in here and you might sit on a church pew and you might fool all of us and everybody else that claims to be Christian. You might get away with it. You might fool your husband. You might fool your wife. You might fool your children. You might deceive the pastor. You might pull the wool over everybody else's eyes, but you'll never pull the wool over God's eyes. He knows. He knows exactly who you are. He knows exactly where you are with Him. He knows exactly what your heart's desires are. He knows exactly whether you've been regenerated, whether you've been born again or not. He knows. He knows. Now go with me to verse 46, please. And we'll close here. Verse 46, Matthew chapter 25. Notice verse 41 to begin with. Verse 41. "Then shall He say also unto them on the left hand, Depart." Notice that word depart. "Depart from Me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." Notice verse 46. "And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal." Who are these that shall go away? These are the goats. These are the lost. These are the sinners. These are the chaff. These are the bad fish. These are the tares. These are the goats. These shall go away. I see, first of all, a parting. In verse 46, I see a parting. There shall be a parting. These shall go away. Matthew 22 and verse 13 says, "Then said the King to the servants, Bind him hand and foot and take him away." That was the individual that came to the marriage feast without the right garments. The king said to his servants, bind him hand and foot and take him away and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. There will not just be a separating in that day, but there will be a parting. There'll be a going away. Someone will be going away, and it's those that have not been saved by the grace of God. Those of you that have never been born again shall go away. Go away. If someone goes away, if someone leaves, if somebody parts, they leave something. If you die lost in your sin, or the king comes back before you repent and believe the gospel, you'll be put across into the left, you'll be separated from the saints, and then you will be one of these that go away. You'll go away from the presence of the Lord. You'll go away from the people of God. You'll go away from the prayers of the people of God. You'll go away from the pleas of the people of God. You'll go away from the power of God. You'll go away from the preciousness of His mercy and His grace. You'll go away. All right, now you may be near, but there's coming a day that you'll be separated and you'll go away. These shall go away. You'll go away from family. You'll go away from friends. You'll go away. But you won't be alone. Notice verse 41, I believe it is. Yep, verse 41. Notice verse 41. You won't be alone. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. These shall go away, but these won't be alone. No, you'll keep company with the devil and his angels. You'll keep company with every foul sinner that never did get saved. You'll keep company with every sodomite, with every lesbian, with every rapist, with every murderer, with every thief, with every drunkard, with every covetous person, with every idolatrous person. You'll keep company with them. You'll be with these through all eternity. Right now, you may be with God's people. You may mingle with God's people. You may come together sometime with God's people. But if you've never been truly saved and regenerated and changed from a goat to a sheep, and that only takes place when God saves your soul and regenerates you, you'll go away with these. You'll go away from all that's beautiful, all that's lovely, and you'll go away with everything that's vile, wicked, mean, hateful and disgusting. You'll go away with these. These shall go away. I see a parting. In Luke 13 and verse 28, it says, there shall be weeping. Luke 13 and verse 28, listen to me. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth when ye shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and ye yourselves thrust out. Ye yourselves thrust out. Well, a good God wouldn't do that. A good God would be merciful. No, a good God will be just. A good God will be holy. A good God will do right. These shall go away. There'll be a parting, but I want you to notice that that parting shall be to permanent punishment. Notice in verse 46, and these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. Where shall they go? These shall go away to everlasting, permanent punishment. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 9 says, "Who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power." Mark 9 and verse 43, "And if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell and into fire that never shall be quenched, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched." You need to read over that, Mark chapter 9, and those verses in Mark chapter 9 around verse 40 down to about verse 49. You need to read through there. Do you know that if you die lost and you find yourself in that place called hell, that you would very willingly gouge your own eye out than stay in that place? You'll wish you would have had taken an axe and cut your arm off and gone through the pain and the agony of having your arm cut off than spend forever in hell. These shall go away. Matthew 24 and verse 15 says, "And shall cut him asunder and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Go into Revelation chapter 14 and verse 10, please. I want you to understand that when the separation takes place, when the king comes and the people are gathered and the separation takes place, it's permanent. Revelation chapter 14 and verse 10. "The same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation, and he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb, and the smoke of their torment ascendeth up for ever and ever, and they have no rest, day nor night, who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name." It's without rest, forever and forever and forever. "These shall go away." Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 31 says, "It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God." You know, our day in our society that we live in, they say that fear ought not be a motivation for anything. We oughtn't do right because we fear the government. We oughtn't do right because we fear our parents. We oughtn't do right because we fear authority. But if you look in the scriptures, over and over again, God places fear as a motivation to come to the gospel, to come to Christ. You better fear God. If you don't fear God and you don't fear his word and you don't fear his judgment, you'll never come to Christ as your Savior. You better fear him. Luke 12 and verse 5, "But I will forewarn you whom ye shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him." That verse says, "whom ye shall fear." I forewarn you whom ye shall fear. Not whom you should fear, whom you shall fear. If you don't fear him now, you will fear him. Oh, that God, the Holy Ghost of God, would make it real to your heart, and there'd come a place in your life that you'd fear God, that you'd fear his word, that you'd fear sin, that you'd fear the judgment to come, that you'd fear the king returning before you were ready. You better fear. I'll tell you why I did right as a child. And Dad, he's not too scary anymore. He's feeble. He's weak, he's tired, and he's not very intimidating. But there was a day that he feared me. I feared him, I should say. I feared him. You know why I feared him? Because he had a stick. And he brought out some judgment every now and then. And you know what that did? That motivated me to do right. Fear is a great motivator. And if your children do not fear you, and I don't mean to cringe under a bed in terror. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about fear in having some reverence, having some respect and having some awe. There ought to be some reverence and respect and awe. You're just a peon in the sight of God. You're just a little bitty person in the sight of God. You're nothing. You ought to fear him. Oh, God, help us to fear the judgment of God and him as he is in his holy, righteous self. These shall go away. Go back with me and we'll close with this. Back in Matthew chapter 25 and verse 46. Notice the contrast. Notice the division. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment. In Sunday school, Neil said, don't you love the buts in Scripture? And I do. Thank God. Wonderful. There's a change takes place when you hit but. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. Praise God. That's me. There I am. Since May of 2000, God made me righteous. I didn't say I made myself righteous. I didn't say I changed, I reformed. No. God declared me righteous in May of 2000. Happy day. Happy day that the Lord washed my sins away. Happy day that I went from being a goat to a sheep. Happy day. The righteous. How is someone made righteous? What righteousness is it? Well, we covered this last week, I think, or the week before. We know it's not self-righteousness. We know it's not unrighteousness. It can only be God's righteousness. Actually, I think I preached that at the funeral, didn't I? Was that at the funeral? That's when it was, Sister Faye's funeral. It's not unrighteousness. Unrighteousness is unacceptable in the sight of God, and we're all unrighteous. Self-righteousness, that good that you have, all our righteousnesses are but filthy rags in the sight of God. So unrighteousness and self-righteousness, they're all unacceptable in the sight of a holy God. The only thing, the only righteousness that's accepted with him is his own righteousness, God's righteousness. And thank God, when God revealed to me my lost state, showed me that I was a sinner, headed for hell and headed for the judgment of God, thank the Lord, after 2 weeks, I came to a place where I was willing, where I was ready to repent of my sin and turn from who I was and everything that I loved and everything that I desired, to turn from that and place my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he saved me, he justified me, and he stamped me and declared me righteous because I laid hold of the righteousness of the one who died for me on the cross of Calvary. And if you're saved, that's just the same for you. Isn't that wonderful? Thank God for the righteousness of the Lord Jesus. That's imputed to our account. It's given to me. Didn't earn it. It's a gift. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Thank God for his mercy. You know, we sang a song just before, when we all get to heaven. when we all get to heaven. We all sang it probably, but statistically we won't all get to heaven. Some of you are not going to make it. I hope you do. I pray you do. I really do. But as far as it goes, there'll be some of us won't be there when we get to heaven. Why? Because you'll be a part of these that shall go away. The king's coming. The people will be gathered. There'll be a separation. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, everlasting destruction, the lake of fire, which is the second death. God help you to examine yourself and to see where it is you truly stand before Him, before it's too late. Let's bow in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word. Thank You for Your mercy. And my Lord, I just do pray that You'd be pleased to bless the word that has been read, that's been preached. And my Lord, I just pray and I ask, would You be pleased to be merciful to the lost? Lord, do for them what You did for me. I thank You for saving me. I thank You for saving everybody in this room that's been regenerated, that's been born again. My Lord, I pray and I ask that You would help those that know not You in the free pardon of sin. God, would You make it plain? And would You save them by Your good grace? Those of us that are saved, Lord, would You be pleased to stir us and revive us, quicken us, help us to remember what it is that You've done for us. My Lord, I ask Your blessing on us. We plead in Jesus' name. Amen.